Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Zero Season 4, Episode 8 starts now. Happy Wednesday. I'm BD, joined today by Jamie Drack.
Good morning.
We got Aaron Perrine.
What's up, everybody?
We got Jenna Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
And we got a chonky boy today, don't we? We got a lot to discuss on this episode. We're going to start with the X-Men 97 trailer, some things we saw, some things we think. And then we got a big report from THR this morning. I don't know if you have steered clear of the internet and managed to not read this article, but I read the whole thing. We all read the whole thing, and we're going to talk about the whole thing. There's quite a bit of MCU madness going on, but it seems like the retooling, as they're calling it, is underway. And then we've got even more. I mean, there's just the Silk update. We've got all kinds of stuff. Morbius on Disney Plus. Wow. Well, that's the whole story. I just spoiled one of the last news stories for you there at the end. There's more to it than that, so we'll get to that in a bit. But we're going to start with X-Men 97, shall we?
Yeah.
I think we have the trailer here, the trailer released last week. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. Everybody listened to our Madam Web interviews, our Madam Web reviews. And now the moment you've all been waiting for, X-Men 97 trailer reaction. Awesome trailer. But, Jenna, you're at the top of the screen. Anything you want to start off by talking about with this trailer?
I think it's so great. This, like, as someone who watched the original series countless times and rewatched it a couple of years ago, like, it's just so crazy to be back, and the way that they are like ushering in this new era while still acknowledging the previous series is just great. I will talk about like the specific Easter eggs, but this is just so fun. This is exactly what I would have wanted to sell everyone on the series.
Jamie, what you thinking?
Oh, I'm so hyped. As you know, I've been rewatching it, and it's just been a joy of an experience. And I think I'm going to line up real good with my finishing right into this. And it's just this, I just seeing this, it just brings my heart so much joy. It just looks so good. They just knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew exactly what people wanted. And that's pretty amazing.
Aaron, how you feeling?
While the expectations are through the roof, I feel like a majority of the fan base is really, really on board, which is a massive win considering how much everybody freaking loves X-Men the animated series. So the fact that we're even at the point where it's not like universal distress at the trailer signifies that something has gone very, very right.
It seems like they're just doing everything, like, I don't want to say safely, because safely is usually associated with being boring, but it does just seem like they made all the right choices to do it safely. Like, the animation looks great. They got the cast back, the nostalgia, that poster, fantastic. And the idea now that Magneto's in there saying he inherited everything of Charles. Ooh-wee. But here's the thing. If you read that EW report, well, never been on the show. Friend of comicbook.com, Ross Marquand, is the voice of Professor X now. I love Ross. Ross is super talented. Ross has been doing voices on Invincible. He played Aaron on The Walking Dead. He does. If you've never watched, I've got on YouTube and Google or YouTube searched Ross Marquand impressions. He is phenomenal. He actually had a TV show on a channel called Pop TV just doing impressions, and it was pretty dang funny. I love Ross. Great person. Very, very talented individual. And he's the voice of Professor X now. So in some form or fashion, we're going to get Professor X back in here with Ross as the voice. On me, my X-Men. That was cool. That was a cool moment to end it. Gambit riding Wolverine's back, I thought was awesome. Powering up his claws. There's also the first thing, because you know me, I'm always Easter egg hunter. I can't watch these things without my magnifying glass. The Daily Bugle is in there in the trailer, and it's got the confirmation of Spider-Man and Eddie Brock's existence in this world, which isn't new, like there have been plenty of non-X-Men Marvel characters that show up in X-Men the Animated Series, but whether or not Spider-Man's going to show up, I wouldn't be shocked if Spider-Man does show up in this series on Disney Plus, because Disney can do whatever they want with Spider-Man in animation. We've seen that in What If already, so there is no precedent set to make us think he can't show up in X-Men 97. But yeah, there's a ton of Easter eggs. You want to run through those?
Sure. I will also say the Bugle, if I remember correctly, doesn't include the hyphen in Spider-Man, which is just wild to see. Like, I know that's an intentional nod on their part, but it's just so weird to read it without the hyphen. But yeah, the Hellfire Gala is also teased on that Bugle cover, which, like, if that happens at any point in this season, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to be so happy. Jamie just also made a face indicating that she's going to feel the same way.
Imagine
show me the fashion.
Yeah,
one of my favorite things about the original series is how much they're like changing clothes, because you don't see that a lot in animation, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted an excuse to be like, let's get them looking pretty.
All the action figures you could make on that.
Yeah,
that's the Marvel way right there. That's what drove Marvel in the first place, was the action figures. Oh man, Hellfire Gala. I saw this in a new Rockstars video. The Friends of Humanity has a sign in the background of one of these shots. So the haters are still out there. The X-Men mutant haters are still out there in the world. See if they're going to play a part.
It's the discourse around this trailer, because like it's been almost a week since this came out, so obviously the discourse has evolved in the time since we've gotten to talk about it, but the people who are like, oh, the X-Men are woke now because Morph is in this show and is presented as non-binary, I politely suggest that you read like any X-Men comic ever, because you will realize that that has been the case for the team for a very, very long time.
I just, like, it's such a stupid argument that I just try to ignore it and not amplify the fact that people are saying stupid shit like that, because it's just like, yes, that is the whole X-Men at their core is...
It's gotta be... I just, like, can't in my heart believe people are that stupid. Like, it's gotta be, like, people who just want attention. I just don't understand how you cannot know a single thing about the X-Men and then get on the internet and have strong opinions like that about the X-Men. Like, I just have to believe it's for that kind of faux outrage that they want people to pay attention to them about.
Yeah, that's why I try not to even give it to them. Like, whatever. You want to be stupid, go be stupid, whatever. This freeze frame here, I feel like this could this be the Hellfire Gala?
That definitely looks like it, because fireworks and the big spectacle are always a huge part of it on Krakoa. So if they're not even doing it on Krakoa, I don't know exactly where this is, but like that looks like it could be that event.
I thought it might be. Jean is pregnant in the trailer. Which baby is she having?
Cable.
You think so?
It's Cable. I bought the Madeline Pryor Funko Pop that they have for the show, and all of the merch that is related to her is like, oh, she's holding baby Cable. Like, I think the Marvel Legends figure says like with baby Cable. So he's always first. So it makes sense. I don't know. And we've seen him in the original series, if I remember correctly. So we're kind of, you know, going full circle and having him be born. So.
Yeah. And then what was this last one? Who added this last bit here?
So at the very end of the trailer, when they're all confronting Magneto and they're all in their workout gear, a lot of their outfits are pulled directly from a scene in Chris Claremont and Jim Lee's X-Men number 4 from the 1990s. They already did a basketball scene that was kind of homaging that scene in the original series, but this seems like there's going to be some sort of rematch with like a lot more people involved. So we're going to get them all in workout gear playing basketball and kind of like teasing each other about it. So that'll be fun.
I think the show is going to be a lot of fun. Do we know the release style of this yet? Is it just one a week?
I don't know.
Oh, I hope so.
Bo said on Twitter, on Instagram, more on that soon. So we'll know soon.
Interesting. Okay, so March 20th, which is right around the corner, it's a month away, is when X-Men 97 is going to premiere on Disney Plus. We'll see how they release the episodes, whether it's weekly, whether it's daily, whether it's 3 at a time, 4, whatever. Do we even know how many episodes it is?
I don't know.
If we do, I don't. So, but yeah, still some stuff to learn about this. We'll see in the near future. X-Men 97 is right around the corner. We are going to be all over it on Phase Zero. We're going to be having a good time. If it is a March 20th, I believe is a Tuesday, right?
Let me check.
I think we might just...
That is a Wednesday.
No, it's a Wednesday.
Well, yeah. Look at that. So then we'll just do the second half of our Wednesday shows. We'll just be X-Men 97 discussions. So that's fun. We've been doing some bonus episodes. I want to thank everybody for the support, because on Monday we rolled out our SJ Clarkson interview, and everybody knows how we felt about Madam Web, but also everybody knows how we felt about how awesome SJ Clarkson was as an interview, the director of Madam Web. She was an awesome interview, and the feedback on that, the comment section on YouTube was really fun. For the most part, pretty positive people trying to just have a good time with our interview. Three days before that, we had our Madam Web review. Last week was such a busy week. We had Deadpool 3. We had Madam Web spoiler free. Like, we had 5 episodes last week. So thank you so much for listening to those. We wouldn't be doing those if you weren't listening to them. So it means a lot that you're out here having a good time with us. So now's a great opportunity to subscribe to the channel, because when you come back, this is what I think a lot of people are here for today. We love doing a Wednesday show right after a big old news dump. So we got some chunky stuff coming at you. THR drops that Marvel retooling story. We dissected it. We looked at all the highlights. We have everything you need to know about it and our thoughts on it coming at you in just a moment. So subscribe, leave a 5-star review, play our show for your mom, play it for your dog, and we'll see you in a moment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to Phase 0. We're talking about the THR report that dropped this morning, talking about Marvel retooling. They're not rebooting. They're not even soft rebooting. They're retooling, which that's not news. We've kind of all known that. We've assumed that. It's been kind of obvious that they are only releasing Deadpool 3 this year as an opportunity to retool, to fix things up, because obviously, whether you love it or you hate it, and you know we want to love it all, and we've been a little bit divided, sometimes middle of the road on some of the projects recently, the numbers in the box office, the numbers in review scores, the numbers in audience scores are showing that the magic and the kind of stranglehold the MCU had on audiences and people's wallets in the Infinity Saga is a bit looser than it was up until 2019, now in 2024. So Avengers 5 is what kicked this off, is the big takeaway here. It is now really firmly being reported that it is not going to be called Avengers: The Kang Dynasty. We've talked about this a bunch. We all assumed that this would, may not all, but a lot of us, most of us assumed this was going to be what happened ever since they said maybe they're just going to, they were calling it Avengers 5 behind the scenes. But then there was the Coleman Domingo news. And I was instantly back in it. I know a lot of us got excited again. So now I feel like, guys, are you just dangling this fruit in front of me? Like The Rock at WrestleMania, and then you make us hate it, so we want Cody back, and then they give us Cody, and then we're all like, but we want The Rock. Okay, sorry. I know, you know, I got to go to the wrestling terms. Thank you, Aaron, for getting it. Thank you, one person. So how are we feeling about this whole minimizing slash, as it was worded, potentially, possibly, entirely excising Kang? Now, at this point, now that we've had time to let it marinate, now that it's cooked, what do we think? Jenny, you're the top.
I just want to say that I feel very vindicated. I already tweeted about this, but as somebody who kind of was the first person on this show suggesting, like, it's probably not going to be called Kang Dynasty, they're probably going to retitle it. I'm glad that this is now as set in stone as it can be, in lieu of like Kevin Feige literally coming out and saying it. So I agree with you. I think when Coleman was a possibility, that definitely sounded intriguing, and I wouldn't have absolutely said no if he ended up replacing him and just they carried Kang forward from there. But I think either way, minimizing him, because they said that it might happen. It might have happened anyway because of how Quantumania performed. So I get the decision on multiple levels, and I do think that this is a good call. And as we have said ad nauseum on the show, Loki season 2 provided a perfect way to do that and just move on.
Jamie, what are you thinking?
I'm all for this. Coleman would have been a cool, exciting choice, but like also he just got nominated for an Oscar. I feel like he's doing other things. I wouldn't be surprised if it was just like, that's all a little too much right now. I'm very here for literally whatever they decide, anything else. You know that I'm hoping for Young Avengers, but I don't think that's what this will be, but I'm allowed to hope for that.
All right, here we go. Aaron, what are you thinking?
Well, I just know that if people who follow my career, I come from sports, and the problem with firing GMs, the problem with firing coaches, the problem with changing course to dramatic visions, when you blast out a management team is, what's the plan now then? You have, what, 2.5 years to give me a big bad for a movie? Or you could retread. You could do that, I suppose, but you got to have a plan. And I don't think, I'm just going to tell you, I know people don't want to hear it. 2 years is not enough for Dr. Doom. So you got to do something else.
Well, that's when maybe like an Ultron type story comes into place, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that might be it. I mean, you're buds with Josh Brolin. Maybe you get Josh Brolin back here for the bag. I don't know. I have no idea. Some of you have seen that clip on comicbook.com and on the YouTube channel, you know, Josh Brolin not realizing how many times he's been killed until BD brings it to his attention. But yeah, I don't know what you're going to do for that. That I would not envy that position. Like, rewriting movies is hard, despite what anybody would have you think. So, you know, whatever it is, has to be good. That's all.
It's going to be tricky. It's going to be a really tough act to pull off in a satisfying way. And for that reason, I mean, I know this year is a D23 year, which means a lot of people assume Marvel Studios probably won't go to Comic-Con. But I'll say this. Comic-Con is 5 months away now.
Away.
Comic-Con is the place to win that favor. Comic-Con is the place to announce the changes. If you do it at D23 is awesome. Jamie was there. And it really has... the Comic-Con energy in Hall H is just different. There is like there's just no way to describe it unless you've been there. It's a reason why everybody who hasn't been there wants to be there. And I would argue that most people, if they were given the choice, if you could go to the Hall H panel for Marvel Studios or you could go to the D23 presentation, most people would probably pick Hall H as a fan. So if they're going to go up there and they're going to say, listen, we're changing things up. We're doing this. We're doing this. Thank you so much to Brandon Davis for being our moderator on this Hall H panel in 2024. You're welcome, Kevin. I'm available. I think that that's the place to do it because you'll have the energy. You will automatically... go ahead, Aaron.
I was going to say, there's no way they let James Gunn bring out freaking David Corenswet as freaking Superman and do not respond. There's no way.
Yeah, DC Studios. No way. DC Studios is absolutely doing something at San Diego. So I feel like there is no way that Marvel is not going to also try to do something. Also, it's Deadpool 3's opening weekend that weekend. Absolutely. So like they have the potential to do something absolutely bananas that like even exceeds our expectations.
Here's what I think they should
do. James Gunn try Alan Richardson out here as Batman without doing nothing.
I'll never forget the first Comic-Con I went to for work. I think maybe this was when I was a fan. I'm still a fan, but I don't know. It was 2014, 2015, 2016, one of those years. They had a Star Wars panel, but it was kind of like it wasn't very exciting. The panel was just okay. But then they had a Star Wars concert, and everybody in Hall H got to go to the Star Wars concert and they got a free lightsaber. And poor Kevin Smith had the next panel in Hall H. But everybody left. But here's what you could do. You could show Deadpool 3 to Hall H. You could show Deadpool 3 at that same place where they did the Star Wars concert. You can have a premiere for Deadpool at Comic-Con. I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think Ryan Reynolds tends to have premieres in New York and stuff. But it's which one's going to win, Marvel or Ryan? Who knows? Are they going to have a big Hollywood San Diego thing? Are they going to do New York? I will see. But that's besides the point. I think Comic-Con this year has an opportunity to have, like, this could be a year where we're like, Comic-Con is back type thing. Cause it has felt like San Diego, they had to deal with the actor strike. They had to deal with the pandemic. They've had the cards stacked against them. And now Warner Brothers and Disney can send DC and Marvel and have the biggest Saturday Comic-Con has seen in what feels like a lifetime at this point. And also, not sorry to make another wrestling comparison, but it is like The Rock. Every time he shows up at SmackDown, the ratings are higher. That when The Rock came out to challenge Roman Reigns, they're like, this is the biggest WrestleMania of all time. That's the equivalent. Everybody who watches wrestling understands what I'm saying. That's the equivalent. You have the biggest names, put them all at once. Man, that's the place to do it. Do it live in front of people. But anyway, I think that this is all going to be, I also think a Comic-Con Blade's going to get a new release date, but we'll talk about that in a moment. The Fantastic Four got a new writer. Eric Pearson, who has been on the show, it was a great interview way back, you know, back in the first season of Phase Zero, right? That was 2021. Yep. He wrote Black Widow, also wrote Thor Ragnarok. He has been hired to script polish the Fantastic Four script. I'm cool with that. I like Eric Pearson. I liked Black Widow a lot. I thought Black Widow was a lot of fun, except for the bombastic falling out of the sky stuff. But other than that, I thought Black Widow was a fantastic, I really, really enjoyed that movie. I had a lot of fun with it. Also, maybe it was like the first Marvel movie in a while, so it had extra love for me. But I really enjoyed Black Widow more than I think most people did. How are we feeling about Eric Pearson touching up Fantastic Four?
I feel like Jamie has to go first as the resident Black Widow lover.
You know I'm into it because I like, obviously am also a Ragnarok lover. And but so like, mm-hmm. the, if when you're giving me the writer of those two movies, which are very different, and that's a good sign. Those movies, like I'm sure if you were to tell like a random person on the street who has seen each of these movies maybe once that the same person helped write those, they'd be like, oh, that's very surprising. So I think that that's a good indication of a good writer. And I'm 100% here for it.
I agree. I think like he's kind of built this reputation of, as someone in the chat pointed out, of like of just being a script doctor, of like coming in and helping these movies get over the finish line and be polished up in the way that they need. And it's like, now that we have the cast set, I'm sure that the script has gone through countless evolutions depending on who may or may not have starred in the movie. But now that that's set, I'm sure Eric is helping like fine tune it and kind of find the voice for it. So I'm on board.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Anything to get the movie done. Anything to get the movie done, man. It's got to be done before it can be released. So much stuff has happened. I see, the funny thing is also, I feel like this would have been met with more clamor about 3 years ago, because that's when everybody, it was sacrilege to be like, oh, Thor Ragnarok is not one of the best four movies that this franchise is. That was still everybody's favorite. He was involved. Black Widow, Jamie carries the banner for that. And it is fun. I think after watching Madam Web, go back and rewatch Black Widow. I think you'll feel differently. So I'm excited to hear anything. Brandon is losing it, man.
Madam Web is just it's transcended being a movie. It's something else now.
It's an experience.
I watched the Marvels last night. I was like, oh, I'm going to put this on for the fourth time. And like, literally I was like, wow, I already love the Marvels, but in a post Madam Web world, it is a whole masterpiece. Like, wow. I was like, I apologize to Darben. I'm sorry. I said she wasn't a good villain. I retract it. Madam Web has just changed, refreshed my eyeballs. Changed me in every way possible.
if anybody listening doesn't know, I had a wrestling match this weekend, and there is people in the crowd. There's this group of people who go to this wrestling event, and they're called the Anti-Colby League, because Colby's one of the popular guys on this show. And one of those guys, when I was in the ring, yelled, BD, he was trolling me, BD is the Madam Web of wrestlers, and I almost popped. I was like, man, Madam Web has become
a burn.
Yeah.
I almost did the Deadpool. I was almost like, good one. That was a good one. Like, I was like, that was a good one. Madam Web has become something else. Fantastic Four is what Marvel Studios, they want it to be the complete opposite of Madam Web. According to this report, they really are looking for Fantastic Four to, like, and I don't know if this is opinion by the writer at THR or insights, you know, but it could be both. But they're looking for characters that are going to carry the franchise now that they've lost Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans. That was such a long time ago. They've introduced so many characters. It's hard to believe they haven't figured out who that's going to be yet. But I think it's clear they haven't figured out who that's going to be yet, considering Shang-Chi hasn't gotten a sequel. Black Widow, you know, Yelena showed up one or two more times. She's going to be in Thunderbolts. There just isn't that clear character, that clear cut. Like Captain America and Iron Man were undeniably the faces of the MCU in the early stages. And Thor, I'd say, was right there, Spider-Man, but they just haven't established anyone yet. So Fantastic Four, it seems to be who they're hoping can be that, you know, carry that torch in a big way going forward. But we got to get there first. We got to get there. Thunderbolts got a new writer, Joanna Calo. Worked on The Bear, another show I have to watch, but I've watched a little bit of it enough to know that I do think it's really good. And I've watched the awards shows enough to know that other people think it's really, really good. According to a source who has read previous drafts of the script. This feels like maybe a spoiler, but also I think this might be a synopsis making the movie just like Suicide Squad. This is what the report said. It centers on villains and anti-heroes going on a mission that was supposed to end with their deaths. So I feel like that might be more of a synopsis, like relating this to the Suicide Squad than like, all the characters in this movie were going to die. They're not killing off Yelena Belova in Thunderbolts. Come on. That's not happening. Or maybe it is, but I don't think so.
I agree. I think I think often about the Eternals alternate ending of how it was supposed to just end with them all like ostensibly dying and rebooting, and how that was even too dark of a note for them to end on. So I don't think there's any version of Thunderbolts that was going to completely kill off the entire team. But this does kind of point out the Suicide Squad comparisons, which I had had in the back of my mind since the movie had gotten announced and since the roster had gotten announced. So I was like, they're very much going for a Suicide Squad-esque sort of situation, which is interesting because Thunderbolts both is and isn't that in the comics. Like, it feels like an oversimplification, but it at least helps sell the movie to general audiences.
And I wouldn't, maybe now, unlikely, but maybe Thunderbolts is rated R. Maybe Thunderbolts is rated R. You think about it. People who were 10 years old when Ghost was introduced in Ant-Man and the Wasp, they're 46 now. So but Thunderbolts could possibly cater to the more adult audience. But I'd be surprised if that was the case. I'd be more surprised if that was the case.
That also requires Ghost to be in the movie, which isn't even a guarantee, as we've debated on the show like half a dozen times.
I don't know that I need to see Alexi just explode in the boys' style violence.
I think that might be more likely than you think, BD.
Well, I'm based on the Deadpool trailer.
The other adult things that have popped, Echo, the people loving on Daredevil, that might be more in the cards than we think. We'll see. I guarantee you this, if they go through script revision or like reshoots and Deadpool does the billion we all think it will do, they'll be more willing to listen. I don't know.
Speaking of reshoots. Speaking of reshoots, Agatha has a quote-unquote sunny outlook because the reshoots on Agatha, apparently they account for 5 days of reshoots. Agatha only needed one, so that has prompted optimism. I know who to turn to for this one.
Is it me? Hello.
Yeah.
Did that work? I couldn't look at you.
It actually did work. My thing about reshoots is that whether they're a bunch of days or one day, that doesn't really concern me either way. I think that there's like a negative connotation like associated with reshoots that I don't think is really necessary, because that could mean anything. It could just mean like certain coverage, you know. It doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, this story sucked, so we got to change it. Sometimes it does, but that's not what it always means. But it doesn't matter, because I'm excited. One reshoot day, 50 reshoot days, not going to change my mind about what's going on here. Sunny outlook, great. Don't really know if that means sunny outlook as like a vibe or Sunny Outlook as like what people think. I'm not, but
internally, that's what they think.
Yeah. Okay. It sounded like in the company, they're happy that the production's going as well as it is, which is like really great to hear. Cause I know even Echo almost had a similar sort of rumor mill of like, oh, is this production taking too long? Is there too much creative stuff going on and whatever? And it ended up being really good and really well received. So I think Agatha having a good outlook this far out is definitely promising.
Also, Ironheart, they noted in that report, has been finished filming and just is indefinitely delayed, has no release date. Nobody knows when it's coming. And that is because they're slowing down releases dramatically. Echo and Agatha, the only live action shows releasing this year. Ironheart, who knows when it's coming. Also, Blade, supposed to be in 2025, but they noted in that report that, yes, Bob Iger did not name Blade while naming the 2024 movies. He also didn't name Thunderbolts in that same sentence. But, that if the, and this is another one of those that is this an opinion or like assumption or is it insights? I'm not sure, but they were basing on the fact that Bob Iger is saying we're slowing down the rollout for Marvel titles, that they, that as a result of that, they're not going to release four movies in 2025 because it would be Cap 4, Thunderbolts, Fantastic Four, and Blade. I could see Blade getting pushed. I could see Blade never happening at this point. I mean, I think Blade's going to happen, but you know, I just don't know where they're going to fit all this stuff because they clearly need to get to an Avengers movie. They need to start getting to Secret Wars. If they want to do Avengers versus X-Men, everybody's not getting any younger, but we'll see. What do we think? What do you think? Okay. Over under real quick. Let's wrap this up and then we'll take a quick break to end this THR report part of the show before we get to the rest of the news. Cause there's still a lot. Blade, do we think it will release in 2025 or nah? Jamie, you're at the top of the screen.
As sad as it makes me, I don't think so. 2025 is next year. We're in 2024, if you guys didn't know. So my hopes aren't super high, but I hope I'm wrong.
Jenna Anderson, what are you thinking about Blade in 2025?
Stranger things have happened, so I wouldn't put it past them to somehow get the movie out in 2025, but I also would not be surprised if it gets pushed to early 2026 or so forth from there. I also feel like they might have the cushion to where if they need to delay Fantastic Four again, they can give it the November-October date that Blade already had. So I think that they're configuring all of that right now, but I'm not expecting it in 2025.
All right, and the prophet, Aaron Perrine, what do you think? Are we going to get Blade in the year of 2025?
I think so, because the budget is a lot smaller than these, and you're talking about an executive that just rushed a Moana sequel out of thin air that was not supposed to hit the theater and now is coming out in November. Like, if things are not looking good or things are weird with the projections for the fall, come on. Like, I don't know why people do this. I don't know. He just did that. That was 2 weeks ago. I know a lot's happened. Like, BD's had a concussion. Like there's been five different Marvel Studios things announced. But, like, he literally just did that. Like, I don't know. It seems silly to me. I would hope that you would be able to get out a vampire movie if you start filming this year. But maybe not. We'll see.
We'll see. For late 2025... I just don't know if they're going to finish Blade in time. And even if they finish Blade in time because they want to slow the rollout of these films, I think not only would it be beneficial to Blade to take more time to finish it, but also to the Marvel franchise to push it a bit and not crowd the year with four films because of what we've seen happen with that. What it did, like, we've seen that four films in a year can be too much for the audiences. So I would not be shocked if they end up pushing Blade to 2026, but we'll see what happens. We got a lot more to talk about. We got Nick Cage is in the Marvel news world. Whoa, Jamie's excited. We got Silk. We got a little bit. We got stuff. We're going to take a quick 1 minute break. Subscribe to the channel. We'll see you in a moment. A lot more to talk about.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dr. Phase Zero. Someone in the comments during the break said Blade is going to end up being a 40-minute special presentation on Disney Plus. Now, there ain't no chance that happens, but you think about those special presentations. Where is Werewolf by Night? Goodness gracious, there's a lot of questions about these characters that have been introduced. There's just so much going on. Anyway, we got some news. Jamie, what you got?
According to the Angler, Nick Cage is in talks to return for live-action Spider-Man Noir series. As Jenna said on the internet, she texted me so fast. And then I was like, is this a reliable source? I don't know. And Jenna said it's a pretty reliable source. So listen, who else can do it? Can look at that. Who else can be this man? Nobody can be this man. So I hope it's true. A Spider-Man Noir show is going to be awesome. Even if it's not him, I think that it'll be great. But if it is him, it's probably going to be the greatest thing ever made in the history of the universe. So what do you guys think?
Is it going to be made by Sony?
Oh, well, maybe.
Because then it would be Spider-Man Noir, but it would only be Noir. There would be no Spider-Man. I'm so tired of these movies not having Spider-Man in them. But teasing us as if they do. Anyway, no, I think this is cool. I think it's cool. You think it's in black and white?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. It has to be. Yeah. Like, I agree with Jamie. I think conceptually this show could have been cool regardless if it gets off the ground. But if Nick Cage is actually attached and is like doing television to be in this project, like that has me super intrigued. And I feel like that helps sell the show also to general wider audiences. Because it's just, do you want to watch Nick Cage in a neo-noir? Like, I don't think people would say no to that.
I have one request. Someone go fire Robert Rodriguez. Hit him in the head. Hit him in his little hat. And make it look like that. Thank you.
You literally pulled the thought out of my brain, Aaron. I was like, make it look like Sin City. You totally, yes.
Mm-mm-mm. So no word on when, where, how that's going to happen. But the report is Nick Cage, live action, Spidey Noir. Possible. Jenna, what you got?
So also in the Inkler report, because the Nick Cage thing was kind of an addendum to this larger report, which was about the Silk Spider Society TV show. And it said that the show is being creatively retooled. The writer's room has been disbanded outside of Angela Kang, who is the showrunner and one co-executive producer. Several episodes were written before the strikes, but then they didn't immediately resume the writer's room once the strikes were over. And the WGA, we talked about this on the show at the time, threatened to sue Amazon for not restarting the writer's room. And so now instead they've let most of the staff go, apparently. And apparently the creative retooling of the show is trying to focus it to be a little bit more male-oriented and like skewed towards a male viewer, kind of like your Reacher and your Jack Ryan types of shows, which I do not think is a good idea. I think it's cool in theory to put Cindy Moon into some kind of like Reacher-esque spy show, but I still think at the end of the day, she is a teenage girl. You should kind of let the show reflect that. And Amazon has success with shows for teenage girls. So I think that this is interesting, but it could be a misfire. What do you guys think?
Just what we need. More shows catered to men. Thank you so much, Amazon. A brilliant idea. You're so good at what you do. We love you for it. Thanks a lot. That's all I have to say.
Rip Freebie one time.
Yeah.
One time. Also, don't know if that's the way you want to go with a Silk series. I mean, the comics storyline behind Silk is already enough of like a landmine field, which Jenna can attest to already.
Yes.
Why make it harder on yourself? I don't know why you would do that, but you know, this is the Sony Spider-Man extended universe of characters we're talking about, and literally anything can happen. It can give it, it can take away. It can make Jamie very, very happy and then make her very, very sad in equal measure, you know?
I feel like it's very, it's quite common in the recent years for us to talk about things just being made for all audiences, not just male skewing audiences, or even audiences that don't really incorporate, like they don't cater to a male skewing audience. So on one hand, I'm like, okay, well, it's still okay to make stuff that is catering to men and a male skewing audience in the comic book world. But Silk is a weird place to do that. Like that, this is a weird place to like, it's a weird character to be like, all right, hey, we want to bring in the 18 to 45 year old male demographic for the teenage girl thing. That makes this a weird choice. So,
You just set off an alarm somewhere.
Tell you what, I love Angela Kang though. Like I love, I think Angela Kang is an incredibly talented writer and showrunner. She did such a good job with The Walking Dead, and she's just a very good person. So hopefully this one lands. Who knows? This is another one that, like, when I hear about these Spider-Man shows and stuff like that going to Amazon, I'm like, well, let's see if this even happens. Because nothing like this has happened yet. We have not seen anything like this in any Marvel live action show, not on Disney Plus, since the Netflix era. So we'll wait and see on this, whether this even happens. One more piece of news here. A couple more pieces of news. Well, let's actually stick to the Sony stuff. Then we'll get that other piece. Morbius is going to Disney Plus March 1st. Okay. Also, Sony is overseeing Disney's physical media releases going forward. The Disney, what is it? The Disney Deep something club. What's it called? It's shutting down. Whatever.
Disney Movie Club, I think.
Disney Movie Club is shutting down. Yeah. I wasn't a subscriber, but the Disney Movie Club is shutting down. It had already shut down in a couple countries. But I think that maybe there's some dealings happening with Sony and Disney behind the scenes. Because like we just said, Morbius is going to Disney Plus. Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, other Spider-Man movies are already on Disney Plus. Sony doesn't have a streaming service. So I feel like as physical media dies, unfortunately, Disney probably said, you know what? We can throw them this bone. I really feel like that's how Disney looked at it. They're like, we can let them have that as long as they're willing to keep playing ball with us and let us keep putting, you know, Spider-Man movies and other, maybe other Sony titles on Disney Plus. Maybe they'll start doing stuff on Hulu. Who knows? But it seems like these studios clearly both saw the gain enough to take the deal and agree to the other, you know, the benefit and the other team's benefit. So it's interesting though that Sony is going to be distributing Disney's physical media more than Morbius going to Disney Plus, in my opinion.
I'm just happy that physical media is being made. I don't care who's making it.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it's existing. Cause it's just a medium that I don't want to die. I desperately, desperately don't want it to die. If you're watching this, I don't need to say any further. So
we need to get box sets of Phase Zero for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, as someone who, as a kid, I've joked about this online and on the show before, as a kid, my biggest fear was the Disney vault, because I didn't understand what it meant when a movie went into the Disney vault, and it terrified me so much. And so it's so weird to be out of this era of Disney producing their own physical media. So that alone is weird, but I agree with everyone of just like, at least it's getting made and not being completely shut down.
You know, Jenna's picturing like Peter Pan trapped inside of get me out of here. I'm suffocating.
That was absolutely what I thought. I was like, it's just completely gone. And it just traumatized me. And then as an adult, I recognized what it actually was. So
I the reaction to this, like, I saw so many people being negative about Sony distributing the Disney movies on physical media. I don't know why. Like, it's not like, Sony Marvel movies are often not as good as the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. Sometimes, they made the Spider-Man trilogy. Like, let's not, like, sure, Madam Web and Morbius and the Venom movies. Venom made a lot of money. So even then, like, you can't even deny that. But I don't know why there's negativity surrounding this. Like, who cares? But speaking of Madam Web, $25.8 million at the domestic box office. It is the worst opening for a Spider-Man spinoff previously held by Morbius. It's the first Marvel movie to not open at number one at the box office since Fanforestick. And honestly, it's right down there in quality, in my opinion. So how does anybody, there was a report I saw that when reviews came out for Madam Web, theaters were actually seeing the tickets get canceled. It was making less money and refunding people because of how I thought maybe, because of the anomaly this created on social media, TikToks with millions of views, just talking about Madam Web, that people would be like, I have to see this for myself. Nah, we're not in that economy anymore, literally.
That's the thing. I feel like people are gonna watch this movie. My favorite tweets that I've been seeing all week are like, this is how they go. They're like, Madam Web is the worst movie I've ever seen. It makes no sense. It's nonsensical. I loved it. Like, I've seen so many tweets like that. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'm craving a second watch. I'm ready. But it's also, we've talked about this a lot, it comes down to money, and people don't want to spend money on a bad movie, even if they want to watch it to be a part of the conversation.
I do agree. I saw it twice. Like, I saw it again over the weekend and thoroughly enjoyed it the second time. Like I said on the show countless times, I look forward to this being on syndication on cable TV because I will rewatch it every single time that it is on cable TV. But I do think it'll still have a little bit of legs. It's just definitely still disappointing. It still is going to open in China, just not for like another, I think, like 10 days or so. So there is a chance that that will help boost the box office in some capacity, but it's definitely still not great.
I think it's really interesting. It's not really the, like, I feel better and better. The category two has been just delightful. People just coming around on it because freaking Bob Marley did, what was it, 48 million or something crazy, like something wild here in America. And like, shout out to Kings of Benadir, who has like this going on in his career the last 12 months, you know? Shout out to that guy. I love his kin so much. But like, It really comes down to, is the movie good or do you just like the actors? I feel like that's where we are. I don't know how else to really parse it, because listen, that thing broke a record set by Channing Tatum in a rom-com from 2012. You want to talk about stuff that's that I can't even apply to current context. What was in the theaters the week The Vow came out? I don't know. I have no idea. I wish I had looked it up now beforehand, because I'm sure it's like amazing. I'm sure it's like a Zac Efron comedy, dramedy where he has a bunch of friends and like maybe some weird action movie, you know, like The Last Mimsy or something like that. I don't know. But it's just been very interesting. I think it really comes down to either the movie is amazing and everybody goes see it. Shout out to Dune having a 95 on Rotten Tomatoes. Can't wait to see that tidal wave hit everybody. Or people like the people who are in it and you do the best live action Shakespeare adaptation of all time on a movie that everybody was memeing on the internet and said was garbage. So it's all really unmoored from reality, and we're starting to see that.
Hey man, people like Sydney Sweeney.
Not enough for Madame Web.
Not enough when she's only in the movie in a spider suit for 14 seconds.
Yeah.
So Madame Web didn't do well. That's going to be that movie's legacy. I can't wait for Madame Web 2.
It is crazy that it made less in 6 days than Morbius made in 3 days. Because it was released early because of Valentine's Day. So it had a longer opening weekend than Morbius and still made less than Morbius.
I'll tell you right now, if they swapped release dates, I think that wouldn't have been the case.
Yep.
I think if Madame Web came out when Morbius came out, Morbius would have been the more vicious flop. I think the tides are turning in every way. One of them being where Marvel movies don't grip people the way they used to. They still clearly have a little bit of a built-in audience, especially Marvel Studios films, more than a little bit. But I think Morbius was such a misfire that people are catching on to it. And also, I mean, Morbius didn't get bashed. Like, Morbius got thrashed, 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. But Madame Web became a meme. And in my opinion, Morbius is the better movie. And that's not even saying much. But that's just me.
Morbius was a meme, though. It was a meme movie. Like, they re-released it in theaters because of the It's Morbin Time meme. So, like, that was still part of the discourse. But I have seen people talk about that in particular and be like, if Madame Web were to get, quote-unquote, re-released, it actually is, like, more entertaining than Morbius to a certain extent. But, yeah. I feel like when Craven comes out, we're going to be having a whole new version of this conversation. So,
well, do you think Aaron Taylor Johnson's going to do a press tour talking like he hates the movie? This whole, like, the Madame Web press tour did the movie zero favors, too. Like, I mean, at least with Morbius, Jared Leto seemed excited and was at least, like, whether he knows comics or not, he at least acted like he wants to cross over with Spider-Man and he knows a little bit about Tom Holland and showed interest. You'd ask Dakota Johnson that, and she'd just be like, I don't know, do I have to do this again? That's what her words and expressions and tone really said. To me, as a viewer, that's what I took from it. So, and I think that people felt that way. They were like, she hates this damn movie. That became the meme. I saw a TikTok yesterday. It had 300,000 likes. I don't know how many views it had. 300,000 likes of somebody basically memifying and reenacting Dakota Johnson's interviews surrounding Madame Web. That is not your goal on a press tour. And I'm not saying reenacting it in a positive way. They're making jokes about how she seemed to not care, how like she seemed annoyed by her co-stars. Like, and I don't think she really said anything bad on the press tour. I don't expect actors to be like Tom Hiddleston and like obsessed with the character and really, really that thoughtful. That's why Tom Hiddleston stands out. He's the exception. There are a few like him. They're not the rule. But to actively just be like, what? I did what now? I did what movie? I never watched this movie. Yes, I've watched all my other movies. I never watched this one. It just didn't do the Presto did not help this movie.
I wish the Marvels could have gotten the press time that this freaking movie got, man. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh, God. But we live in an unfair universe. Also, I think there might have been some enthusiast overlap between the people who like Bob Marley and people who want to laugh at Morbius, and I'll leave it at that. That might have helped this box office for real, because you might have been in a mood to laugh. You might have also been in a room to hit the concession stand if you catch my drift. Someone should put that tweet, the Morbin Time tweet, that needs to go in the Smithsonian, man.
It does.
Like, how did you get you got them to do that just based off of that one meme and everybody windmilling it? I don't know. I just know this. When next time we see a movie that's written by them people, we need to get them writers on the show. We need to get them writers on the show. I need to know what happened. I need to get some contacts for their agents. I need that kind of representation. We need to be that bulletproof, BD. Brandon Davis is broken.
I'll tell you what, I'll be headlining WrestleMania next year. But I'll tell you what. I mean, I hear what you're saying. It makes a lot. I don't get it. Maybe they're listening. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're wonderful people. But damn.
We do have a nice interview with them on the red carpet that I believe is available at comicbook.com if you want to watch that.
Look at what Matt Webb has done to us. Matt Webb has broken us.
I do need to say, when I saw it again over the weekend, as the lights went down and the like opening Sony credits were going, a guy in front of me just loudly whispered to his girlfriend, "It's Morbin Time," and that just set the mood for the entire experience. It was so great.
Oh, sweet Madam Web! All right, we got an image we got to pull up here for this next segment. It is officially a segment, thanks to Elliot Comic Art for this image. We need a sound to go with it. We'll get one next time, but we have a little picture for our next segment. Hold on, it's coming. It's time.
Oh man, I've been in the fryer. Thank you so much, Elliot. This is so delightful. Like my shirt and my hair referencing, and I'm sad I'm going to make it irrelevant in like probably a month and a half. We got a new spicy nugget of the week for y'all. Our friend Mark Ruffalo has been talking so much, just so very much. He can't stop himself. God bless him. And people keep putting microphones in front of his face. And he talked to GQ about what's going on with a Hulk movie. They ask him, and everyone knows he can't answer. He tries to answer, and then he steps on a rake. And then we're all like, I love Mark Ruffalo. He said to GQ that, I love to do a standalone Hulk, and I just don't think it's ever going to happen. It's very expensive if you did a whole movie, which is why they use the Hulk so sparingly. I priced myself out. This follows him innocuously answering a question at Santa Barbara Film Festival about Captain America Brave New World that made us all think he was in the movie, and then everyone had to quickly let everybody know that's not going to happen. Please don't come to this movie expecting Mark Ruffalo to turn up, but if he does, when do you guys think we see our charming gentleman again? And do they have the heart to put him in a scene with Jennifer Garner? I'll leave the floor to you guys.
I think it's a credit scene. I think we see the next time we see Bruce Banner / Hulk will be in a credit scene, possibly in Cap 4. But I think they're going to, like, if this retooling is actually going to work, they're going to have to start putting these people together. Hulk has been in credit scenes already. I go back to Iron Man 3. Bruce Banner was sitting there. He was the one who Tony Stark was recounting the whole movie to. I think Hulk shows up in a credit scene, and he was in that, you know, Bruce was in that Shang-Chi credit scene as well. So he's one of the Avengers that's connected to a lot of different pieces. He could be really helping string them together. So, but I'll say my pick is the Cap 4 credit scene.
I agree with that. Or maybe even like some part of Thunderbolts, even just as like a small, small supporting role. Mm. But I don't know. I do agree with his point that it is expensive to make a Hulk movie, because as somebody who has spoken to the VFX artist who worked on She-Hulk, like the sheer amount of footage that they had to animate to make She-Hulk happen was a lot across the 9 episodes of the show. So I totally can see the point that like doing a movie in which he would maybe mostly be in Hulk form would be very expensive and very time consuming.
I'd like to revise my answer. I think Ryan Reynolds pulled it off. And I think the first Wolverine moment in Deadpool Wolverine, he'll fight the Hulk.
Ooh-wee.
The woods in the trailer do look a lot like the time that they first met in the comics. So stranger things have happened. That could totally happen.
Tell you what comic I'm gonna have to track down for that junket.
It's so expensive. Like, good luck.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like if Hulk was in Deadpool 3, then Mark Ruffalo would have named Deadpool 3 as the next movie when that whole kerfuffle happened like a week ago. I feel like if he was in that movie, he would have said the words Deadpool 3 out loud at some interview at some point already.
Maybe he doesn't even know. Maybe Hulk is computerized. Maybe they didn't even tell him.
Okay. Also, I just want to shout out that Mark Ruffalo is nominated for his 4th Academy Award this year. I just love that man, and he's so talented. And I just wanted to remind you all that he has been nominated now for 4 Academy Awards.
For those of you playing at home, too, Sean Levy definitely directed that man and Ryan Reynolds in a movie like less that than 2 years ago, and had them on set together and was putting Hulk and Deadpool stickers on stuff and teasing people on the internet. So, you know.
Here's what I need. I need Deadpool to just kill Smart Hulk and grab Angry Hulk out of another universe and bring him back to the MCU. That'll make me happy. I'm here for it. All right. All right. Nice spicy nugget conversation there. Official segment. No pressure on you, but you got to do it every week now.
Aaron has
the spicy nugget. Jamie has the recaps. And the next recap you're going to hear from Jamie, perfect segue, thank you, is going to be on X2 this Monday, because our X-Men marathon, which got punted a week, we have X2 as our rewatch, review, breakdown, discussion, bonus episode coming to you on Monday. Thank you so much for rocking with us. Everybody was asking for it. You're going to get it. We just had to talk to SJ Clarkson first, which was delightful, and thank you for listening to that as well. Jamie, any last words for today's episode of Phase Zero?
Oh, yeah. I encourage you to revisit the Marvels. Just give it another watch, especially if you've seen Madam Web. I'm telling you, it's gonna blow your mind. If whether or not you loved it or hated it, I really think you're gonna change your perspective a little bit.
10%.
I echo Jamie's point. Go rewatch the Marvels. I will always advocate for that. It's at HHNLN on social media, and as always, go read some comics.
Aaron Perrine.
It's at some like Hornet, and I actually do have something to hawk this week. I will be hosting a panel at VirtuousCon. It is an online comic convention centered around African-American comic creators. I'm in the Dwayne McDuffie room. Shout out to him. Ooh. Birthday yesterday. Love that guy after his passing. Man, I love all that stuff. But we got a bunch of comics professionals talking about making a living in the industry. I've got David Cronson, Aletha Martinez, who I've met before, she's delightful, TJ Sterling, and Carla Medrano, all together talking about making comics, making a living, finding ways to get things acquired or made. So if you've ever wanted to make your own comic book, come on through and hang out. All right, we're at 12:30 p.m. Pacific and 3:30 p.m. Eastern.
Hell yeah. Congratulations in advance.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. I want to say thank you to everybody who listened. I want to say thank you to everybody who came to the match. There was a Phase Zero sign in the crowd at my wrestling match, and that was awesome. I loved seeing that. But enough of that. Thank you so much for listening to Phase Zero. Play our show for your mom. Play it for your dog. We'll be back on Monday for X2. We have a whole plethora of bonus episodes from last week we hope you listen to. If there's any other things, any other bonus episodes, any other topics you want to see us talk about, send us your tweets, send us your threads, send us your comments on Instagram. Send us only nice comments. If they're mean, keep them to yourself. Thanks a lot. We'll ignore you. And that's our show. 5-star review. Subscribe it. Play it. I don't know. I think I already said that 4 times today. See you on Monday for X2. Bye, everybody.